The first line of Brianna Birschbach's MinnPost article yesterday says, with complete control of the Minnesota legislature, Republicans are taking early aim this session at a little-discussed state commission that has a big say on energy issues. Brianna Birschbach is back with us to fill us in. Brianna, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So first, just fill us in. What does the Public Utilities Commission do?
Yeah, the Public Utilities Commission has been around for about 42 years. And what it does is it's a five-member commission appointed by the governor, whoever that may be at the time, that sets electric rates. So the bills you pay every month, those rates on your electricity are set by the Public Utilities Commission. They also do the same thing for telecommunications companies, natural gas companies. They also make that process a public process. That's why they're called the Public Utilities Commission. So their meetings are public. The public can come in. The public can also bring disputes that they might have with their energy provider to the Public Utilities Commission, and they would review that. They also have a say in some other issues, certain pipeline routes and permitting of certain large wind and solar initiatives. So in a lot of ways, it does have a very big role in the state's energy and electricity and natural gas. Part of the reason for that is because Minnesota has essentially monopolies. A lot of states do on energy. The way it works is only if certain companies get jurisdiction over certain areas to provide the energy for that area. And in order to have such exclusive coverage, they do have to give up their ability to set the rates. So the Public Utilities Commission serves as a check in that sort of monopoly system to set the rates of what people pay on their bills every month.
Who serves on the commission?
There's five members right now. I don't know actually all of their names, but the way it's broken down is it's usually at least one person from outstate Minnesota, greater Minnesota, outside of the seven county metro area. And there has to be a mix of political beliefs. I think right now there are three Democrats, one independent commissioner, and a Republican. There's usually a good mix, but I think once you've had a governor who's Republican or Democrat for a long time, the people tend to skew maybe one political party or another, but they are technically quasi-judicial, which means they have to have sort of reasoning and, almost like a judge would say their reasons for doing and making a certain decision. That's not always how people interpret their decisions. They've gotten, criticized for being political at times. Other people say that's just people being upset with their decisions. But there's a handful of members. The most recent appointee was actually a former state senator, Katie Sieben from the Cottage Grove area. She retired this fall, didn't run for re-election, and Dayton appointed her to the commission, which upset some Republicans in the House who said they wanted more greater Minnesota representation on the commission.
So there are many bills right now that involve the PUC, the Public Utilities Commission. One of the most controversial ones involves a new natural gas plant. Tell us about this.
Yeah, Xcel is trying to construct a new natural gas plant in the Sherburne County area. That's where they have a handful of coal-fired plants that are scheduled to close down by 2026. So they're essentially starting to get the ball rolling on a natural gas plant that everybody seems to agree is needed. The plant and the proposal, the idea did kind of already come before the PUC, and they all approved it and said it was needed to provide energy in the state and to deal with these other plants closing. But they did ask for a certificate of need, which is something that the Public Utilities Commission also does. They say, tell us a little bit about what kind of energy you're going to be producing, what kind of facility this is going to be, how it's going to impact the land around you, the economies around you. So they asked for that. It can be a slow process sometimes, which I think is frustrating for people. And essentially, the bill that came out would allow the Xcel to build the plant without going through that process at all with the PUC and actually have any check on the PUC with the facility at all. So that is being opposed by a number of groups, particularly faith leaders, who say this sets a bad precedent in the state because it allows a huge utility to not have any kind of public feedback, public input, and any kind of check on how this large plant is going to be constructed. So we've had, a lot of discussion over that. We'll see where that goes. I don't know exactly how the governor feels about all these bills yet. I haven't gotten a statement from their office. There's a lot coming, but I think it seems likely that it'll pass both the House and the Senate for sure.
So, Brianna, how do pipelines play a role in this, if any?
Yeah, the PUC does have the ability to permit and talk about the routes of some pipelines. They got involved in the Sandpiper debate, which I think frustrated a lot of people because it took a long time to get permitting for the pipeline. But the PUC did ultimately vote, I think, unanimously to allow the line to be built through Minnesota. It's a 616-mile-long pipeline that would go through the Bakken oil fields to Superior, Wisconsin, and cut through Minnesota. And it's very controversial for the lands that it cuts through. And now there's questions about what will happen with that pipeline overall. There's a lot of questions about what's going to happen with energy, mining, pipeline issues across the country. But the PUC can play in setting the route and allowing a pipeline to go forward.
We're talking with MinnPost reporter Brianna Birschbach about some of the bills involving the Public Utilities Commission in the Minnesota legislature right now. Brianna, back to the natural gas plant in Sherburne County. Mm-hmm. The people who want that to pass, is it because of jobs so they wouldn't have to wait for the... Mm-hmm. Is that why they are proposing it?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a big part of the reason. The representative who introduced it, Jim Neuberger, is from that area, and he said that in his district alone, in the central Minnesota region surrounding it as well, it provides hundreds of direct jobs and thousands of second-tier jobs that are in some way connected to the plant, if not directly at the plant. And I think for him, Xcel came to him and brought this proposal, and he thought this is a way to make sure that these jobs aren't put in jeopardy for whatever reason. You know, I mean, the PUC did say that the plant should go forward, but I think there's always concern that somewhere along the way, something in a certificate of need or something in any kind of something in the process could get tripped up, and suddenly those opinions could change. It didn't seem like that was likely in this case, but I think that was sort of the concern coming from him. I mean, and I think he had general frustrations with how long the process takes with the PUC. It can be very slow to try to get some of these larger facilities permitted and up and running and their plans approved. And I think that is kind of something that a lot of Republicans echoed when I talked about this proposal and the PUC in general.
You mentioned that the part of what the Public Utilities Commission does is regulate rates, and that as someone in the public, we can go to the meetings and express any concerns. One of the bills proposes a change to that. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so the Public Utilities Commission, one thing they don't set the rates for are, municipal energy and electricity companies, which are run by the local governments and in whatever jurisdiction they have, and also rural cooperatives. So those also are run by a board of members, and those rates are set by a board of members elected by members of the co-op. And now some people have argued that they're supposed to be democratically operated, the cooperatives. Some have argued that that's not really the case, that it's very hard to get elected to be a part of the board, and that the same people get elected to lead the boards and set these rates. But the PUC does have some role with these electric and energy cooperatives and municipalities in that they can review rates that they set. They can take them under consideration, and they can also get involved in disputes between customers and rural cooperatives or municipal providers. And a bill passed in the Senate this week and then is moving in the House as well, would basically take the PUC out of that dispute process and reviewing of rates. So they wouldn't have any say if there was a dispute on these issues. And that has a lot of people concerned, again, because with those providers, there isn't necessarily another place for them to go if they do have a problem with their rates. And in particular, when you're talking about solar energy and the rural cooperatives, people who have solar or use solar energy are now, they're able to charge them fees as high as $83 a month, which I believe are some of the highest in the nation. And there's some concerns that there's no check on that and how high those fees could ultimately go.
You know, we are hearing from people in northern Minnesota who are using solar and have been using solar for a long time, and they're really concerned about this. So they pay in to be, they're not off the grid, but they pay in so they can do this. Can you kind of tell us more about that? We talked to the folks from Fresh Energy earlier this week, Jay Drake Hamilton, and she was calling it an unfortunate bill. Can you tell us more about the opponents and the proponents of it?
Yeah, you have a lot of clean energy groups on the side. I mean, the way solar energy works in Minnesota is a lot of there's the grid, which people who have solar panels on their house or on their business essentially can put energy into this grid. Say they're producing a lot one day and they're not going to use it all, they can put that in the grid for other people to use, and they get it almost as a credit on their bill, you know, the same rates that they pay to get energy from the grid, say if it's not a very sunny day. And it seems to work very well, but people are concerned. There still are fees to be a part of this process, and it could disincentivize people to be using solar, which I think more and more people in different regions of the state are using. Fresh Energy was a group and that came and testified at the Capitol this week against it, and then many other clean energy groups because they feel like this could be a detriment to people who are seeking out this type of energy production.
Brianna, do you think having a Republican president has any effect?
Well, we have I think the Republican legislature is sort of the driving force of this. You know, I think what's happening is there's a lot of uncertainty over what might be going on at the national level on energy issues right now. We don't really know a lot that's coming down. I think you're kind of seeing Republicans are emboldened, I think, by what happened in the last election, both at the national level and here. And I think they see this as their time to really across the country and at legislators across the country to you know, show what they want to do and show that they can do things. I mean, in the past, divided government with Republicans and Democrats, not a lot's gotten done. So remains to be seen what actually goes through, because we do still have a Democratic governor who kind of is sort of the goalie on a lot of these issues. They can't really get past him if he doesn't approve them or negotiate some other kind of compromise on some of these proposals.
You can read more about the Public Utilities Commission. Brianna writes about the history of public utilities in Minnesota in her article at minpost.com. What's on your agenda? What are your next articles going to be on? What are you following?
Well, I'm following the governor's health. He did have a bit of a health scare last week when he fainted during his State of the State address, and he also told the press he was recently diagnosed with prostate cancer. So he's had two checkups at Mayo this week, and I think we're expecting to get an update from his staff about what his treatment options are going forward for prostate cancer in particular. So I'll be following that. The Speaker of the House did say we might have a vote on Sunday liquor sales, which we also talked about, next week on the House floor. I think Super Bowl Sunday might have something to do with it, people wanting to get beer on Sunday and that being fresh in their minds. That might be the debate we hear about as soon as next week. And then the pressure will be on sort of the Senate and what they're going to do with that issue. We also have preemption. Republicans in the legislature want to not have allow cities to set their own wage laws, paid leave laws. So they're trying to pass a bill that would essentially preempt them from doing something different from what the state does. So that's up for hearing tonight in the House.
All right. Sounds great. We'll check in with you during the session. Thanks, Brianna.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Brianna Birschbach from minpost.com. You can read her writing there. This is the Thursday Morning Show.